Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone. I'm Sith Lord Steve.
I knew it. And I am Beskar Dave.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And today we're talking about episode 6 of hopefully season 1 of Obi-Wan Kenobi, titled Part 6, written by Jovi Harold, Andrew Stanton, and Hossein Amini, and directed by Deborah Chow.
All right, initial reactions, Dave.
Well, somewhere in my ripped up notes is rating for this. I can't find it. But you know what? I really liked it. To me, I had a real sentimental feel for something that's so Star Wars. Even though some of it had violent scenes, not for the faint of heart. But I really liked it. I'm glad they went out on a high note. I had a lot of problems with some of the plot holes. And there's some weird writing in this one, too. Like, we had this rousing discussion at Wonderland Comics about why Reva went to the planet Tatooine in the first place. Like, why? But I'm sure we'll get to that.
Sean?
I liked it. I felt like there were still stories that could come out of this, so I was hoping that we might get something else, even if it's kind of like how Mandalorian did Book of Boba Fett. Like, oh, we can talk about this, and I'm still holding out hope. I'm not sure how I feel, though, about the whole Reva storyline, how it finally, like, ended. Because it was just a little, I don't want to say confusing, but it's like, okay, that was a long walk. You know what I mean? It's like, not sure about that one. But overall, I liked it. And then, of course, that moment that everybody was like, ah, because everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody's pointing at the screen and yelling.
Of course.
And I'm wondering, which, of course, when we get there, I will ask the question, a big question that I'm not sure if I heard correctly, so I will have to see if you guys heard the same thing I did.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm definitely giving it a thumbs up, though.
Oh, yeah, this was an amazing episode. The only thing I didn't really appreciate was the cutting back and forth between Reva and the battle with Obi and Darth. That needed to be its own unique scene without cutting to another scene.
You can blame Deborah Chow.
You think they were trying to show like the parallels with it?
Probably. Yeah. Obi-Wan finally finds the magic again, and Reva finds that she can't. So, but yeah, this was a great way to finish the episode. And Sean, I'm with you. I want more. I think both actors are wanting more, and crew is kind of going, well, I don't know.
I mean, like I said, they could give us other stories. Like, who the heck are all these Inquisitors? I mean, we just got them in the cartoons.
Right.
And then they're kind of thrown in here. Like, why were they started? Who are they? Where did they come from? Because if they're supposed to be all Sith, I thought there's only supposed to ever be two.
Right.
So explain to me. Give me canon.
Isn't that a Darth Vader thing? Or didn't he create the Inquisitors?
Yes.
I don't know. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Hunt down Jedi. So, episode 6, Obi-Wan is drawn into a confrontation with Vader as Luke's fate hangs in the balance.
Yeah, understatement, thanks. This episode opens on Tatooine in a line seemingly for water. A very rude man cuts another customer, which I think that was the guy who was Obi-Wan was working for early on in the series. Okay, that's what I thought. And then he gets told off by a mysterious figure in a cloak. It's Reva. It's the disgraced third sister, and briefly, the Grand Inquisitor. I love how the guy's like, oh, crap, okay, never mind, it's cool.
Yeah.
She walks up to the merchant and tells her what she's after. I'm looking for a farmer named Owen. She was so dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, okay, bring it down a notch.
And how did she get there so fast?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, there was no ship left on that planet. Not that I was.
Maybe her ship was still out there.
Yeah, I guess it could have been. Darth didn't bother to destroy it before he left.
Yeah, they really do have to punch up some of their writing.
Yep.
Yeah, that made me wonder what happened too. It's like, oh, she's dead. We'll just leave her ship. You know, is that what happened?
I don't know. It's one of the things we are going to revenge. You know, like the Inquisitor said, revenge is a great motivator for healing. So, looking for her revenge for some reason.
Well, the threat alluded at the end of the last episode is now made explicitly clear. If she can't kill Vader, she's going to go after his kid. I still think that's a bit of a jump for her just to assume.
Right.
Because all she heard was about the child and he'll find them or find him.
Yeah, he'll protect him. So
for all we know, it was just another Jedi youngling or force sensitive
right.
that they were trying to hide. Like, how'd you take the jump that that's his kid?
I don't think she did. That was our big argument yesterday in the comic book store. She shouldn't have known. She couldn't have known.
No.
So why'd she go to the planet? Why'd she want to kill Luke and then stumble? Okay, I'm gonna vent this now. Then stumble with the boy and say, I failed him. You failed him? Meaning the younglings. So you were going to fix it by killing Luke? I don't know.
That's what I was wondering, because I swear I thought she said him. Yes. And I had to kind of rewind it. It's like, I failed him. What? It's like, oh, them? It's like, which one did she actually say? Because I did not put subtitles on.
No, it was them. Pretty okay. sure it was them. Yeah, I had subtitles. I always do subtitles.
Because that's why I was like, am I hearing her say, I failed him?
No, I'm pretty sure it was them.
And then was she, I know we're jumping way ahead, was she seeing herself?
Yes.
Okay. That's why I'm like, what? What's happening? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs there.
And I don't think she has a mechanical stomach either.
No.
You know, everyone goes, well, that's why they get around so quick. They all have mechanical parts. I'm like, yeah, if you have a mechanical part, you don't touch it. In the earlier episodes going out, because you got an owie there from an ancient wound, your mechanical part just ticks away. Tick, tick.
Self-repairing. It's programmable matter.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't that a whole nother show? Meanwhile, Vader's Star Destroyer is chasing the band of proto-rebels as they try to escape. Broken says some encouraging words about diverting the shield to the back of the ship and that they'll make it to a nearby planet. But Obi-Wan's like, but will we? We're not going to make it, are we? And he's like, well, we might. It's like, yeah, okay. Wish in one hand. So he concocts a plan and he'll make a getaway, which will divert Vader's attention and allow for the soon-to-be rebels to escape. Obi-Wan meets with Leia, who is using Lola to calm some of the other passengers, which I thought was really sweet. They're scared, she says, and it keeps their mind off it. And I love Obi-Wan's like, oh, maybe I could use Lola. On Tatooine, the shopkeeper from the first scene visits Owen Lars and Luke, who happen to be in a shop. Now, I feel like he kind of stumbled upon them.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, because all of a sudden he's like, Owen, there's something you need to know. Yeah, thanks for being in a hurry to come tell me what's what, dude.
Usually those guys never show up, though.
Right.
That's what I'm like, wow. Usually he's like, you know, you could have warned them.
True. That's why I said it was all like, oh, hey, you're here. By the way, I told this crazy lady where you are, so good luck. And we go back to our rebels, and Kenobi is fully committed to his devil-may-care scheme. He's going to be leaving Leia with the rebels and face Vader on his own. And I love it because everyone's like, no, you can't do it. You said we have to stay together. And he's like, you are all the future. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you're not the best at rousing people when you're like, I'm going to go die, but you guys got this. It's like, okay. He turns to Haja and makes him promise that he'll deliver Leia to Alderaan safely. And Haja makes some cracks about how Obi-Wan probably doesn't believe him because he's a liar, a scoundrel, a fake Jedi. And Obi-Wan's like, no, I know you'll get her home. That was a little touching, and I think that kind of threw Haja.
Yeah, it did.
His face was like, wait, what? Yeah.
I was hoping we'd see more Haja, but no.
See, we can get his story.
Yeah.
At the Lars homestead, Owen and Brew bicker about what they're going to do to defend themselves and young Luke. As Brew's talking, she's moving furniture out of the way and opening up a hidden compartment, and she pulls out a very large gun. I love this because Owen's like, what? What?
I know, she's on fire suddenly.
Yes. We know who wears the pants in this family now, don't we?
Well, Bruce's like, yeah, I knew this was coming. And it's like, how did you not? It's like, what? Yeah, we know she was like ready for everything, apparently. Back on the ship, Leia is quite distraught, crying to Obi-Wan saying, you said you'd take me home. And he tells her that Haja will do it, and that he has to do what he has to do. Okay. It's like, I gotta do this, Leia. It's the only way. Yeah, you know what? The 10-year-old is not going to understand necessarily. She's, on it, and we know what she turns into, but right at this moment, no, she's just a 10-year-old that's scared.
This is not the way.
But he hands her Tala's holster, the one that has the little notch marks inside, and he says that she would have wanted you to have it, Leia. And we had to rewind this, because for some reason, I thought he was talking about Padme, and I'm like, why would he have that randomly now? So then we realize it was Tala. It's like, oh. And Leia's like, oh, it's empty. And I love it. He's like, I'm not giving you a blaster. You're 10. So it's like serious and sweet. And then it's like, let me throw a little comedy in here. So I like that it kind of broke it up. And then Leia just says, please come back. It's like, oh. When we get to the end with them, I have a question for you guys.
Right.
So I was a little confused. But we'll get there. We then see Obi-Wan looking at his lightsaber and trying to commune with the Force, and of course, the yet unseen Qui-Gon Jinn. I have to face a master. This ends today. One of them will probably wind up... Yeah. It's like, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Every time it was getting tense, Jason would look at me and go, they're not gonna die. Like, thanks. Thanks, I appreciate that.
He's just trying to tell himself.
Roken comes over and says, it's about you and him, isn't it? And Obi-Wan's like, well, no, it's about all of you, and you can't stop fighting. And Roken's just like, yeah, okay, we're just getting started, but don't lie, this is about you.
Yeah.
Next thing we know, we see Obi-Wan in a small craft, jet away from a larger ship, and Vader sees a small ship from the Star Destroyer, and just says, that's him. And the Grand Inquisitor is like, yeah, okay, but we're going to kill all these people. It's like, because then we'll decimate the path and end all the rebels. And I love Vader's like, nah, follow him.
Yeah.
It's like, for a moment, honestly, I thought it was going to be Haja. Like, that he snuck in there and took off.
Right.
And I love the Grand Inquisitor, though, had that look like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
You notice that a Star Destroyer shoots about as well or accurately right, as your average stormtrooper? Yeah. Good grief. Can't like, hit the broadside of a barn. Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to shoot a ton out there and see if I can hit something.
Makes no sense.
Peru and Owen prepare for Reva's arrival. Vader follows Kenobi's ship to some craggy, desolate planet, which was probably the same one that the Rebels were going to end up on, which wouldn't have ended well for them. Parks the Star Destroyer just outside the planet. Prepare my ship, I will face him alone, says Vader. And
again,
yeah.
Could you just see the Grand Inquisitor like, rolling his eyes, like, okay, you got this, you know?
For one damn Jedi, and Vader, it's not just the Jedi. Obi lands on the planet and reaches inside of his robe. Leia has secretly put Lola there, places Lola on the dashboard, making sure it stays safe, at least nothing else. So you would think Vader would blow up Kenobi's ship before he even landed. He's not getting away. But no.
I guess they don't have little hula girls on the dashboard. Yeah.
Back on Tatooine, Reva approaches the Lars homestead. Should be noted that the attack on the Lars homestead is intercut with the Darth Vader Kenobi showdown on the empty planet, which bothered me a little bit. Since Return of the Jedi, Star Wars movies have frequently had multiple climaxes happening at once. That's an understatement. On the empty planet, Kenobi waits for Vader. Have you come to destroy me, Vader asks. I will do what I must, Kenobi says. And it's on, and sabers come out. They swing their lightsabers around with great fury. You can tell this duel is personal. They throw boulders at each other, and eventually Vader makes the earth crack and buries Kenobi in the ground. And this shows just how powerful Vader has gotten already. Of course, he's had 10 years of training already.
And hate, Phil. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you really think you could defeat me? Vader cackles as he walks away. And it seems like Obi-Wan's goose is cooked, or at least buried under tons of rock and soil.
Because Vader had the high ground.
Yep. Tatooine, Reva enters the house and fights with Owen and Beru. She tells Owen that he protects him as if Luke was actually his own son. He is my own, Owen says. Luke escapes out of a hatch and sets across the desert. Reva, wielding her evil red lightsaber, follows him. Of course, she's not 100% because she's got a hole in her midsection. So,
and it's pretty dark, and she can't exactly see in the dark and running. Yeah, the desert. Yeah. And honestly, we were watching this during the day, and I'm like, okay, this is a really dark scene, and she's wearing all black. I can't see her.
Right.
It's like, oh, there's the shadows moving. Okay, at least give me a moon so I can see something.
I know they have three suns or whatever. Right. Where's all the moons?
And surprise, Obi-Wan has made a little force pocket for himself in the avalanche. He hears the voices of Anakin and sees flashes of Luke and Leia. And it gives him the strength to survive. He's back, baby. Obi-Wan blasts out of the ground. Vader is almost to his ship, and Obi-Wan tosses boulders at him.
I wanted him to say something smart, like, where you think you're going?
Yeah, rematch. But we go back to Tatooine as we see Reva still running after Luke. That's a lot of cardio. for
kids are fast.
Yes, kids are fast. Yeah.
And the desert's full of marauding. Who do you say was marauding? The sand people.
Right. Sand people. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to chuckle at that too. Be careful in the desert. There's a lot of marauding sand people out there. But if you get caught, run out in the desert. Wait, what? So with Vader, Obi-Wan has gotten the upper hand. He's cracked open the mechanical box on his chest and slashed open his helmet, which was like, oh my god.
Yes.
You can see inside to the Padawan that Anakin used to be. Anakin, Obi-Wan asks. Kenobi apologizes to Vader, but Vader isn't having any of it. You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader hisses. I did. Then my friend truly is dead.
Goodbye now, I have a question with this moment, though, because this is something that Jason and I were discussing. Do you think that Vader said that to give Obi-Wan, like, leave to kill him? Like, he was asking him to do it without asking him to do it?
No, I didn't get that.
We were thinking that it's like he knew Obi-Wan was feeling guilty this whole time.
Right.
But this whole time, Anakin knew it wasn't anyone's fault but his own. And so he's been living with hate and guilt and everything as Vader. And then this moment, it's like, if you kill me, it's over kind of thing. But yeah, again, had Obi-Wan done that, it's like, oh, we wouldn't have had the movies.
Right.
But maybe the world wouldn't have gone to crap. Who knows? But at the same time, it's like, I felt watching it like he was almost pleading with him. Like, yes, it was me. I screwed up.
Well, yeah. I kind of took it as it was a way to make Obi less intense on trying to save Anakin. Basically, it was like, no, you didn't kill Anakin. I did. He's not here anymore. It's Vader all the time. Okay. And that's the way Kenobi took it.
Of course, in the third movie, his son senses good in him. Padme sensed good in him.
Oh, I have a theory with that, too.
So he didn't really kill him?
See, I also thought that maybe him saying that was a way to tie into the Vader betrayed and murdered your father line.
Yes, absolutely.
Like him just saying, no, I did it. It was just like that line to that other line.
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Theories.
So then Kenobi says, goodbye, Darth. Ooh, called him Darth. He walks away, leaving Darth Vader screaming and wheezing his horrible mechanical wheeze. I'm sorry, did you say something, you know who?
Yeah.
I'm reading it right now. It says, why did you leave? I'm right here. Quiet, you. Darth Vader screaming and wheezing his horrible mechanical wheeze. Kenobi races in Tatooine. You know what? I liked the way they switched between mechanical Darth Vader voice and Anakin voice.
Yes. Oh my god, that was so creepy, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because the helmet was broken, and this, I thought that was pretty good.
But the wheezing sounds like me right now, too, by the way.
On a rocky outcrop on Tatooine, Reva is closing in on Luke. She's about to strike him down and then sees herself in Luke's huddled position. She remembers looking to Anakin for help and seeing his face of a murderer. She can't do it. That makes you wonder why she went there in the first place.
Because she thought she was badass.
Who'd she owe that to? She, after the last episode, and she realized what had become of her, she decides to... this just bothers me. Just says, what, a little spurt of evil left in her? Okay. So Kenobi lands on the Lars homestead. Beru and Owen are calling out to Luke. They see Reva like a phantom on the dune. She's carrying Luke. They fear that he's dead. She puts him down, and it's clear he's alive. I couldn't do it, Reva tells Kenobi, but she feels like she's let down the other Jedi that Anakin slaughtered. You haven't failed them by choosing mercy, Kenobi says. I guess that made sense.
Right, at least.
Yeah. Who she becomes now, Kenobi tells Reva, is up to her. She tosses her scary saber into the desert sand.
Yeah, okay, somebody needs to go find all the lightsabers that are in the sand and Tatooine.
I know they're all over the place. Now you're free.
Tom would get a hold of that, that's for sure. Buried.
sell it in a second.
Yep.
Now you're free, Kenobi says, inside Vader's very chic castle on Mustafar. He's talking about a tiny hologram of the Emperor. Vader's ranting about Kenobi and all the snuff out of the Jedi. I wish we could see his closet.
Right.
And all the helmets and robes he's got in there. Oh, man. Including one that's made for tennis. The Emperor says, you seem agitated, and insinuates that maybe his connection to his former teacher and his friend has made him weak. Vader refutes this. Kenobi means nothing, Vader says. His allegiance is solely to the Emperor. Camera pulls back, lingering on Vader and his throne as John Williams' timeless Imperial March plays. Yeah, that was cool, too. Yes.
And this is where my question is. Because we've seen Vader pull down a ship and, like, have all this power, that, and then suddenly, after he faced Obi-Wan and seen his face through the helmet, like, he seems to not have the power, as much power. So do you think it did kind of weaken him, knowing that Obi-Wan's still fighting for good, and then that's how it takes it to the "I still feel good in you" line, like, 3 movies out?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's very possible that this was the beginning of bringing Anakin back, because Vader gave him the perfect opportunity to take him out, and he didn't. So
he showed him mercy.
Yes, he showed him mercy. Even though, you know, before the fight, he says, "One of us is not leaving," basically, and both of them got away.
So. Yeah. World's worst villains and bad guys. So, back on Alderaan, we see little Leia getting ready. She's getting ready to meet a dignitary, as we've seen before. She puts on some familiar boots and slings her new holster over her hip. When her mother, Brea, comes in to get her, he sees the holster, asks what it is, and tells her she loves it. How many parents would say, "Take that stupid thing off right now"? Well, like 99% of them. They go out on the landing platform outside her castle. Leia asks who she's going to meet, another snooty cousin, perhaps? And of course, the ship lands and out steps Kenobi and Lola. Leia's thrilled to see them. Kenobi and Bail Organa have a nice exchange. I didn't like it that she ran right past Obi-Wan Kenobi to get her toy. Bail says that he could never repay Kenobi, but Kenobi says he doesn't need to. "If you ever need my help again, you know where to find me," Kenobi says. Do we?
Yeah.
He moves out of his cave.
He doesn't have his projector anymore, so.
And he goes over to Leia in what is arguably the most touching scene in the entire episode. Tells Leia his personality traits that she got from her mother and father. It's a beautifully written exchange, and McGregor totally nails it. He did. Yep. Leia asks if she'll ever see him again. He says, maybe. He also says that no one must know that they already know each other, which seems to be the serious catch call explanation for why Leia doesn't remember Obi-Wan from their adventures together in the first
episode. That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Right.
It's like, did her mind get wiped? What happened? Like, this didn't make sense, but... I mean, is it just, she's just supposed to have forgotten about him in 10 years?
Well, she does say to R2, "Yeah, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope."
Right.
Yeah, but she's like, "Yeah, you helped my father in the Clone Wars." It's like, he helped you.
Yeah.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah, it is confusing. They really do need to punch up the writing a little bit. Some of these inconsistencies are just mind-boggling.
Basically follows what Kenobi tells her is, yeah, she asked for his help, that uses her father as the way, the connection, not her. Because, yeah, if she had said, "Yeah, we were together against the Inquisitors," well, if that had gotten into Vader's hands, then look out.
"You helped me back in the day." Yeah, okay.
But he doesn't trust her with a blaster, but he does trust her with the galaxy's biggest secret.
Yes.
Just give the kid a blaster, please. I'm begging you. So Layla puts Lola in her holster, and it's a perfect fit.
Of course.
I think I'm going to crack and get one of those things.
Lola or a holster?
Lola. We then see Obi-Wan cleaning out his cave on Tatooine so no one can find him. He sees the toy that he tried to give Luke earlier in the miniseries. He leaves the cave behind and travels to the Lars homestead. What's in that giant box? I forgot. Didn't he even look in that box before?
I thought that was the moisture thing or the generator.
Dehumidifier?
Yeah, I don't think you need one of those in the desert necessarily, but...
Yeah. So he leaves the cave behind and travels to the Lars homestead. Obi-Wan approaches, says that he thought Obi-Wan would be keeping his distance. He's so friendly. Kenobi says that he will soon enough. Kenobi tells him that Owen was right. He just needs to be a boy. The future will take care of itself, including destroying a planet. Obi-Wan, after some more light dialogue, Owen says, "You want to meet him?" I was like,
yeah.
We're finally seeing it. The first meeting of Obi-Wan and Luke. Brings the toy over and utters the only phrase that could have been appropriate in that moment. "Hello there."
That's the question I have.
Like, yeah.
Because I rewound that moment several times. Did they put the original "hello" there in that, or was that actually Ewan McGregor?
I thought it was Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Because I swear I thought it was that from the original movie, it was that they put his "hello," I forget his name, I'm sorry.
Alex.
His "hello." Alex Guinness, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That it was his "hello" there that they dubbed in.
Well,
otherwise, man, Ewan is like, spot on.
Yeah.
He says he tries to channel his voice.
Right.
Hey, did a real good job then.
Yes. If he did, next we that's for sure.
Yeah. Next we see Obi-Wan on his EOP as he heads towards Mayberry.
Yeah.
Really familiar rock formation from the first Star Wars. As he gets closer, a shimmer appears beside him. It's the Force Ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn. There's lots of Jinns on TV shows we watch.
Yeah.
Finally, took you long enough, Obi-Wan quips. He tells Obi-Wan that he's been there the whole time. It's just that he wasn't able to see him yet. Come on, Qui-Gon says. We got a long way to go. And together they walk towards a rock formation.
I did not know that he was going to be on it.
Right.
So I'm surprised that that was kept under wraps so well.
Well, we're all hoping for it, though, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but I'm still surprised. Yeah, you know, kind of like in, what was it, the Marvel, when, crap, what's his name, popped up on screen for Matt Murdock. It was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So it's like, how did you guys keep this quiet? This is huge. So kudos to them, because, you know, there's always something that gets leaked somewhere, and it's right. Like, I was hoping we'd see something, but I thought it was going to be just like from behind where you, you know, didn't see his face, so it wasn't actually him.
Right.
I was, like, super excited that that happened.
I see the Multiverse of Madness is available on Disney Plus now. I'm like, yes. Oh, boy, that seemed fast.
Yeah.
I know there's a cameo in that, too. I won't spoil it for everyone. It was spoiled for me. But I'm looking forward to that. So, Easter eggs. It's always Easter around here. That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Let's get on to the droids and alien species in the episode. Any given shot of any given crowd in a Star Wars production typically contains a few familiar figures. Whether it be an iconic droid models or instantly recognizable aliens. Episode 6 features Jawas, and I love the little voices, and an R5 astromech during the opening Tatooine market shot. Then Nitko on the past escape ship. Obi-Wan later rides his Yopi, and Owen Lars references the Tusken Raiders in a warning to Luke about farm attacks. Yeah, those guys are crazy. My favorite, every time I see a Tusken Raider, I just picture one with a rifle over his head going, So Six catches up with the past escape ship. Darth Vader's Devastator Star Destroyer is in hot pursuit. It should have just rammed him because he can't hit. Don't they have tractor beams? They have tractor beams, don't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's not use that too then. As a homage to the iconic opening scene of A New Hope, the hulking mass of Vader's imposing ship gradually crawls into frame and firing upon its fleeing target. Yep. That was totally cool.
Yep.
Princess Leia's holster, while both characters are still aboard the past escape ship, Obi-Wan lifts Leia, gifts Leia the, see, it's not only Easter, it's Christmas, the blaster holster previously worn by Tala, who died fighting stormtroopers in episode 5. She killed herself. This hip accessory seems a little short to be a one from Return of the Jedi's Endor scene, but looks almost identical to the holster Leia wears in her canon Star Wars comic adventures. I mean, the internet was on fire.
Yes.
How about that holster?
Debating it.
Oh, my. Since adult Leia sports the holster around her leg as opposed to Vivian Lyra Blair's Leia, who wraps it around her waist, it's possible they're the very same item. If not, the similarity is a clever Obi-Wan Kenobi Easter egg. I tend to believe it.
I'm thinking not. I don't think 10-year-old Leia's waist will match 10-year-old Leia's thigh. No.
Maybe she got a belt extension.
Right.
Yeah.
Had it modified.
See, don't get me started on thinking about 20-year-old Leia thighs.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke Skywalker repeats the famous Empire Strikes Back line when Uncle Owen and Badass Beru, that's for sure, learn Reva is hunting down Luke Skywalker. They lock the youngster away in a moisture farm storage room. Defiantly, Luke tells his son, "I'm not afraid." The line perfectly echoes the Empire Strikes Back, where Luke shows exactly the same defiance to Yoda when discussing the dark side on Dagobah. Sadly, Beru doesn't reply with, "You will be."
That would have been awkward.
Yes.
Owen's like, "What? Yeah. What happened to your voice?" So Darth Vader must face him alone. Tempted into a direct confrontation against Obi-Wan Kenobi. Darth Vader instructs. He always has to win, right?
Yep.
He always has to win. Darth Vader instructs the Grand Inquisitor and fellow Imperials, "Prepare my ship. I will face him alone." I've done a better voice than that. Similar to Luke's Star Wars original trilogy callback, this particular Vader line echoes A New Hope. Gunning for Kenobi ahead of the fateful Death Star battle, the villain's original quote was, "Escape is not his plan. I must face him alone."
Yep. Saving so he can talk some smack and nobody can know what he's saying? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Saving the scriptwriter is even more work. Darth Vader teasingly asks his former master has come to destroy him. Kenobi duly replies with, "I'll do what I must." And their showdown begins. This oral snippet is inspired by Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, spoken by Obi-Wan Kenobi immediately ahead of his Mustafar duel against the newly crowned Darth Vader. Unlike Luke and Vader's verbal attacks, Obi-Wan repeats his decades-old line intentionally as a brutal burn, subtly reminding Anakin of the outcome last time they went one-on-one.
Brutal burn? Before Episode 6 duel begins properly, the Jedi adopt their famous stances. and Obi-Wan in his famous overhand Zorsu lightsaber pose, as seen in both Star Wars prequel movies and the Clone Wars. And of course we hear Anakin's prequel quotes. Trapped beneath a pile of moon rubble by Darth Vader, Obi-Wan begins flashing back to key Anakin moments from his past. The Jedi hears, "This is the end for you, my master. Admit it, you are beaten. I see through the lies of the Jedi, and I do not fear the dark side." That was a bad choice.
Yeah.
These lines all derive from episode 3 of Revenge of the Sith, Mustafar Battle. And hey, we get to see a little rock lifting. In the final moments of 2018 Star Wars The Last Jedi, Rey mocks the stereotypical belief that the Force is just lifting rocks by lifting a bunch of rocks and saving the day. Almost as a retort to that scene, Obi-Wan Kenobi defeats Darth Vader by lifting a whole mass of rocks into the air and hurling them at the angsty-ridden Sith Lord Anakin. I love how he was standing there with his arms wide open, like, yeah. It's like he just needed that little choir behind him at that point.
Yeah, they do a few Christ-like type of stances. I always make me a little like, people aren't going to like that. Or yeah, we'll love it. Who knows? But they do it.
Almost certainly unintentional, the parallel draws a fun link between Obi-Wan and Rey. Well, back to when Obi-Wan tells Luke that Vader killed his father. Oh, I kind of talked about this earlier. Star Wars never properly explains why Alec Guinness, Ben Kenobi, told young Luke Skywalker that his father was betrayed and murdered by Darth Vader. But this Easter egg helpfully plugs the gap. That's what, I really think that's what the whole thing was. So yep,
just for that.
You can just think that. It's like, okay, this is in my head now forever. After their duel on the annoyingly dark, uninhabited moon, yeah, like I said, can I get some light somewhere? Obi-Wan expresses his regret regarding Anakin's turn to the dark side, but almost as if to assuage his former master's guilt, Vader admits that it was he who truly killed Anakin Skywalker. Though still technically Anakin's words add some legitimacy behind Obi-Wan's white lie to Luke. I think that's the whole point.
Yep.
Obi-Wan explaining a weird plot hole. Well, there's a lot of those, but A New Hope features an odd script quirk where Obi-Wan calls Darth Vader Darth as if for the first time. This makes little sense as Darth is a common title to every Sith worth their salt. Maul, Sidious, Bane, and you might have heard the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise. In the helpful Obi-Wan Easter eggs, Ewan McGregor drops exactly the same Darth line after winning his battle against Vader in Part 6. The moment tactfully confirms Kenobi's A New Hope line was always intended as an insult, a means of pointing out just how far Anakin fell by emphasizing his Sith Lord title instead of his Jedi Knight that he was once.
You're just a Darth. Any old Darth.
Do you know how I got these scars? Okay, Joker. When Luke Skywalker unmasks his father in Return of the Jedi's dying moments, Anakin exposes his face, and it bears a large, angry scar across the top of his head. Given how this wound sits in the exact same place Darth Vader gets slashed in Episode 6, it's possible the injuries came courtesy of old Ben himself. Now, I know that is a real topic of contention online, because a lot of people are like, it would have healed, it was like, that point 15 years or whatever. It's like you would think it would have, and it wouldn't have been big and angry, but maybe he was keeping it unhealed for some reason. Like, I want this reminder, which would be weird, but he is an angsty Sith Lord.
Yeah.
He needs to get a better back to tank.
Well, Palpatine returned. Ian McDiarmid makes his grand Star Wars return as Emperor Palpatine, appearing via hologram to question his students' Obi-Wan Kenobi obsession. Interestingly, Palpatine dissuades Vader from continuing his Kenobi pursuit, which explains how the Jedi Master remains undisturbed on Tatooine between now and A New Hope. A surprise to be sure, but a welcome one. Imperial March and Force theme. Episode 6 makes excellent use of John Williams' classic compositions, dropping both the Imperial March and his Force theme at key points in the episode. The Imperial March begins shortly after Vader gets off the phone with Palpatine, emphasizing his commitment of faith to the dark side. Versions of the Force theme can then be heard during Leia and Obi-Wan's touching farewell and the episode's closing shot.
It's so familiar, I expected. Like, you have to expect it.
You have to.
If it wasn't there, you'd be like, hey, something wrong.
Well, we get to see Obi's final outfit sets up his comic adventure. After a tough 6 episodes of relearning the Force, babysitting children, and getting set on fire, Obi-Wan Kenobi returns to his Tatooine cave for a sorely needed change of outfit.
He's now sporting, had a bath.
Yeah, he's now sporting off-white robes, a brown cloak, and orange sand goggles. Obi-Wan's fresh look in the final moments of Part 6 introduces his costume from Marvel's canon comic books, which cover the Jedi adventures on Tatooine before A New Hope. There's our story for Season 2.
Sure.
And foreshadowing Leia's message, this Obi-Wan Kenobi Episode 6 Easter egg cleverly explains why Princess Leia sends her iconic message begging for Obi-Wan's help in A New Hope. As the two new friends bid each other goodbye in Part 6, Obi-Wan promises to return if Leia ever needs help from a tired old man. In approximately 9 years' time, he'll do exactly that when Princess gets captured again, this time in possession of the vital Death Star plant. And
that was cool.
Yes! And he said it! He finally said the line. After 6 entire episodes of teasing the meme, Obi-Wan Kenobi joyously bows out with a very well-earned hello there.
You know, did you guys do it too? Because like, as soon as it was said, though, Jason and I were like, oh, he did it!
Ian McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi has spent an entire season trying to commune with his deceased Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn, but lacked the set of skills required. He didn't lack them, he just hadn't remastered them yet.
Yeah.
The long-haired warrior perished in a battle against Darth Maul, but Yoda teased away Obi-Wan could reconnect with his mentor via a Force ghost. Then finally behold, Qui-Gon Jinn's spectral form in Episode 6. Character is once again portrayed by Liam Neeson, and Qui-Gon's ghost is remarkably upbeat considering the young boy he demanded the Jedi Order accept is currently ripping apart the galaxy as Darth Vader.
He doesn't want to talk about that.
No.
Time to move on.
Go past that part. Don't ever come back.
Yeah. I'm looking back. I wanted to add something from the tired old man. Oh, I had seen
on the internet.
Let's see. Alec Guinness was 63 when you were portrayed that role.
Right.
And, you know, Ewan McGregor is 51 now. So actually, it's pretty close in the timeline.
Right.
Where he ages to that point because everyone's like, why is Obi-Wan Kenobi so old? Maybe Alec Guinness. I'm glad I didn't look like that when I was 63. Anyway.
You're not living in a desert planet with 2 suns beating down on you. You know, takes the toll. Guess.
Didn't they show 3 suns? It's supposed to be 2. I always understood 2. But didn't they show 3 suns setting in the when they went back to the moisture farm at one point? I thought they did.
I thought it was like just a reflection on the camera or something. But
a lens flare, that's
rough.
Property.
Right, yeah. Rough. You know, and we don't know. Maybe their days and years are longer, so it took a lot out of them.
Yeah, okay. So, ratings. Who's got a rating? Sean, got a rating?
I have to give it 4 out of 5 lost lightsabers in the desert.
Okay.
Because I did like it. I still think there was a few things that, like I said, the whole Reva thing kind of threw me.
Yeah.
But the lost lightsabers are there. Somebody find them. You can make some bank.
Yep.
You have a rating there, Sith Lord Steve?
Oh, absolutely. I gave it 5 out of 5 sliced helmets.
Oh, me too. Well, I gave it 4 out of 5 cracked helmets. That was so cool.
Yes, it
was. You know, I would, at the end of the first night watching, I gave it 5 out of 5. But then I downgraded it to 4 out of 5 because, yeah, like Sean, the whole Reva thing.
I feel like it just could have been a little better and made more sense.
Right.
Because, yeah, she's just going after some random kid that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
But if Ball had sent that message to Kenobi.
He did.
And she sees it, so she got to think that, well, let's see. This is Leia's dad, and now he's saying he'll go to Tatooine to protect Luke. Well, something's going up, so this kid must be pretty important.
So I think I'll kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it could have just been Force-sensitive younglings that they're hiding. That's why it's like, oh, yeah, I must go after him. Why?
Why? And for this, she gets her own show? I don't know. Or they're thinking of giving her her own show.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I
think we'll see her as a Jedi eventually.
Yeah.
Because she never popped up in any of the cartoons, right?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss that somewhere.
She must hang out in the Outer Rim, you know?
Right.
Way Outer Rim.
All right. Any more thoughts?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, We do have some feedback on episode 6. As always, our friend Fred from the Netherlands has provided some feedback. Let's see if he gave it a better rating than we did.
Hello, Steve, Dave, and Sean, and all listeners to the Fangirl Zone. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Obi-Wan Kenobi Season 1, Episode 6, the Season 1 finale. What are the chances of a Season 2? I think that's a fair question, because though the show was set records for Disney Plus for the most watched premiere ever, it always have been billed as a limited series. And there has no, as far as I could find on the internet, official confirmation. On the other hand, there is still time in the Star Wars timeline to put an extra season in. Nevertheless, I think that if you look at the end of this season, it could be a wrap-up. And the open ends are very limited in the sense of you really need a second season. It easily could connect to the rest of Star Wars canon, I think. I gave this episode an 8. And for the whole series, it would be a 9 on IMDb, actually an 8.6666, so 8.7, because the first 4 episodes I all gave a 9, and these last 2 episodes I gave an 8. Why this episode an 8? I do like lightsaber fights, but it took me just a little bit too long. It was too much. Of course, we know from the timeline that Darth Vader should survive, but also Obi-Wan. But I think it was actually quite weak that even after he really confirmed Anakin Skywalker is gone, that he didn't kill Darth Vader. Of course, he can't because of the timeline. But actually, in the story, he should have done it. Especially after he got the confirmation that Anakin is not in there anymore. Although he could have his doubts if that is really true. But perhaps that's just the limitations of having to fit into the canon. Okay, that will be all for this season of Obi-Wan Kenobi, or perhaps for the series. Thank you very much for your podcast, and thank you very much for this ride. Greetings. All the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Thank you, Darth Fred. Yeah, Trevor might be interested to know that on IMDb, it rated a total of 8.5 out of 10, which is same as the previous episode, too. So, yeah, they thought pretty much rating, you know, as I said on our last podcast, fans are pretty forgiving. Love the property.
Oh, yeah.
Love the, you know, the stars and the actors and everything. They need to tighten up. They're writing a little bit, but Fred's a pretty giving guy too, apparently. Thinks the same way we do.
I thought it was a little interesting that he actually gave the last 2 episodes a little lower rating than the first 4.
Yeah,
I thought it would have gone up.
Yeah, it would have been, it kind of flipped.
He thought the lightsaber battle was too long.
Right.
And Steve was saying that I wish he saw more of it and wish he wasn't interrupted, which is what I would have preferred too.
Right.
But oh well. Give me more lightsaber battles.
Absolutely.
Maybe the next one will be so long, it'll be huffing puffy at the end. Like, we'll just go to a pub.
Yeah, we only really got to see 2 decent battles. One with Obi-Wan and Anakin, and then this one, and could have used a few more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we would have complained.
No.
Well, we wouldn't have, but apparently so Fred's like, nah, give me a story. And we're like, fight, fight, fight.
Yeah.
Well, Fred, we appreciate your feedback all season long. And here's hoping that we do get a season 2 and we get to hear from you again.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Darth Fred.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Star Wars podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast. Don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can check everything out over at www.fangirlzone.com, where you can find our contacts page and all the ways to get a hold of us, plus all of our podcasts. And even though the season is over, We will happily answer you if you do still send us something in. We will discuss and answer because we still want to know everybody's thoughts on everything that's going on. So, for this episode of the Mudhorn Clancast,
this is Sith Lord Steve. Maybe someday, if you ever need help from a tired old man.
This is Sean Fangirl S, and I'm going to take my holster and fill it with robots.
And this is Beskar Dave. I use a holster, too. I use it to hold my spear.
There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.